Would you pray with me and for me? Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A number of years ago, I had the honor of doing a funeral for Marge, and I'd only been at the church in Honeyway Falls for a week or two when somebody let me know that Marge was having a birthday, and I was eager to meet her as a shut-in at the church, but I also had an ulterior motive because Marge was turning 102. In all of my life growing up, I had always wanted to meet one of the Smucker's birthday people that Willard Scott always told us about on TV, and so I figured now is my chance. And I had a delightful time with Marge that day, and it was almost 2 years later when she passed away. And as I was meeting with her family, her daughter indicated that she wanted to share during the service. And so as her daughter shared not only about the impact that her mother had had in this world, but she also began to talk about some of the ways that the world had changed in nearly 104 years of life. And so she talked about some significant world events, some inventions that had happened, and the one that, for whatever reason, stuck out to me most that day was the fact that Marge was born before cars existed and before people had them. Now, I was aware there had been a time in history that there hadn't been cars, but to think about that I had spent time and been with someone who didn't know that at an early age just kind of blew my mind. And so I began to think about all of the many things that we take for granted. Now, think about the first car that you drove, and unless you've just turned 16, I'm going to imagine the car you drive today is significantly different than that early car that you drove around. And we take for granted not only the comfort and the convenience of our cars, but we take for granted the power that is there in our cars. Henry Ford's Model T had about 20 horsepower and topped out at a speed of about 45 miles an hour. The minivan that I have, which is nothing spectacular, has some 266 horsepower, and we got it right before a road trip, and I was used to a car with a little engine that when you got on to 90, you had to really floor it. And on that first trip in that minivan, my wife turned to me as I merged into traffic on 90 and said, "Do you mean to be driving 90 miles an hour right now?" I didn't know the power that I had. Power is a wonderful thing when we are going with it. But I was in fifth grade on the day when I had just made the loop around our block, and as I got back close to home and was going to cross the street, I didn't realize just how much of the view was obscured by the pickup truck in the lawn mowing trailer that was there. And I was just about to get across the street when, before my dad even said anything from our front yard, I could see a look on his face that accompanied with the shout of "Stop!" I knew I needed to act, and as I slammed on my bike's brakes, I came just short of the station wagon that came by. And on that day, I was very aware of the power of a car and how you don't want to be on the wrong side of that power. There were many witnesses to the resurrection on that first Easter. Not all of them were on the right side of that power. The guards who were at the tomb, they experienced the power, and we are told what? We are told that they shook in fear and they became like dead men. Their story doesn't end there. In the verses that follow our reading, we find that they go off to report to the chief priests of what had happened, of the power that they had experienced. And we're told that they make the choice to be paid off and to lie about their experience. And so we're told that their lie and what they had shared, that it lived on for years, and that at the writing of the gospel, people still believed that the disciples had come and stole Jesus' body. So these men who found themselves on the wrong side of the power of the resurrection, their life was still impacted by that power. But they made the choice of something far inferior. They made a choice for what they thought was for their own safety. They made a choice to take payment for their own benefit. And the choice that they ended up making by doing that was by living a lie for the rest of their lives here on this earth. Meanwhile, we see other witnesses to the resurrection. We see specifically the women that come to the tomb and the other disciples, and we find out a couple things about these witnesses. One, unlike the guards, we are told that as they came and experienced a similar fear to the guards, that because they knew and trusted Jesus, that they are given comfort in this moment of fear as they experience the power of the resurrection. They are moving in the same direction as this power, and the angel speaks to them, "Do not fear." These women also make a choice about what they will do. And even though they didn't have all of the answers, and we see that they and the disciples for the days that follow are still confused about the power of the resurrection and all of what that will mean, they still go forth to share and to tell. There was something about that power that so touched their lives that they couldn't keep it a secret. Now, this power was so great that even though it began to touch their lives immediately, it didn't change everything all at once. Not only do some of the disciples have a hard time believing these eyewitnesses, but we also find that the disciples continue to lock themselves behind closed doors, wondering what this will all mean for them. We see some of them going back to their former professions. We see some taking a journey, having conversation with who they think is a stranger, not quite sure about what this power has meant for them. But again, these are people who know Jesus, who trust Jesus, who love Jesus. And so the power of the resurrection gets in their hearts and begins to grow and build and puts them on a trajectory that changes not only their life, but all of the world following these days. The second thing that is true, in addition to the comfort that they are given, is that as they experience the power of the resurrection, this power that is almost too great to believe, they are compelled to go out and tell this truth to others. It would have likely been easier to believe the lies of the guards. And yet, this power grasped them, and they went forth to share. Jesus had spoken these words while he was still walking with them prior to his trial and his death. As they reflected on the power of Christ's ministry and all that he did, Jesus told them, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And they find that they have to go out and tell about what Jesus had done and the power of the resurrection. If you follow cars, which I don't necessarily do that, but every now and then something catches my attention. Well, Dodge announced this week a new super muscle car. I don't know if you heard about this, but as production cars go, it is one of the most powerful ones ever made at 840 horsepower. You can believe that if I ever get the privilege of driving one of those, which, by the way, if you get one, invite me over. You can believe if I ever get the privilege of driving one of those and experiencing that kind of power, I'm probably going to be telling you about it. because there's something that when we are near something powerful and we find ourselves working in the midst of that power and going in the direction that it's going, there's something contagious about that, that it's hard to keep to ourselves. And the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is better than any car we will ever experience. Jesus defeated an enemy in death that seemed to be invincible throughout all of human history. But that is true no more. It took some time for that reality to sink in for them. It takes some time for the reality of the resurrection and its power and the implications that it has in our lives to sink in for us as well. How will the power of the resurrection impact your life? At the very least, I hope that you find yourself trusting in Jesus, and just like Marge after her 103 plus years, knows that she is in eternity with Jesus. But not just for the other side of eternity, but for this side of eternity. Where will you find yourself in relation to the power of the resurrection? For those guards, they found themselves on the outside of that power. Is that where you will be? Without the comfort of heaven telling you to not be afraid? Will you decide that there is something, while inferior to Jesus, is more important than what he might want to do with you and through you in your life? If so, if that is the choice that you make, you will find yourself in one way or another living the rest of your life for a lie. But if you decide to trust Jesus, then the power of the resurrection will carry you on and propel you to be places in your life that only God could lead you there. We may still find ourselves nervous and in need of reminders to not be afraid, but when we follow after the truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the message, "Do not be afraid," can be and will be ours. We cannot fully unpack all of what it means to live into the power of the resurrection in our time here today. But we can decide, will we be within the power or outside of that power? Will we let the resurrected Christ into our hearts, or will we keep him at arm's length? In Jesus, there is power. There is power to forgive sin, the spiritual death that comes from broken relationships can be resurrected in Christ. In Jesus Christ, there is power, power to love. This isn't just a love of convenience that goes with what the world typically says, that love is, "I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine." No, this is the love of Christ. The love that looks beyond what the other person can do for us and looks to how we might serve others by the power of Christ. For those that found themselves within the power of Jesus, again, it took them some time to figure out what this all meant for their lives. But where are you with that power? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Then you will follow Jesus and let the power of the resurrection take you to places that otherwise you would never have dreamed. I want us to have the opportunity as we join here today in worship and experience this power of the resurrection to say, yes, we do indeed want to be in the power of Christ. I'm not going to ask you to stand or raise your hand afterwards, but I want us all to, either for the first time or for the millionth time, to trust the one who greets us and calls us to life. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we are grateful for all that you have done, for all of who you are, and for the great love that you have for us. Lord, you do not force us to follow you. As powerful as your resurrection is, you do not force it upon us. And we can make the choice. We can stand outside of that power, or we can join you in what you are doing. So, Lord, we take this opportunity to open our hearts to you, to trust you, Jesus, to love you, Jesus, and to seek you for the power that can make the worst things untrue, for the power that brought you back from the dead. Lord, enliven our hearts. Speak to the dead places within us. Give us a life that could only be true in you. Lord, on this Easter, call us to follow you. And as we experience that power, to be so excited that we might share who you are with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.